This BBC podcast is supported by ads outside the UK.
Warum nur an der Oberfläche kratzen? Bei einem Atemwegsinfekt ganz dünnes Eis.
Wenn Erkältungsviren auf die Bronchien schlagen, packt Umkaluabo den Infekt mit der Wurzel. Denn es lindert nicht nur die Symptome, sondern bekämpft auch die Erreger.
Umkaluabo.
Unaussprechlich, aber ausgesprochen gut.
Zu Risiken und Nebenwirkungen lesen Sie die Packungsbeilage und fragen Sie Ihre Ärztin, Ihren Arzt oder in Ihrer Apotheke.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Hello, I'm Julian Warwicker. Thank you for downloading the BBC's World Tonight podcast for Friday, the 28th of February. An extraordinary, very public shouting match in the Oval Office between Presidents Trump and Zelensky has left everything in doubt about future US-Ukraine relations. You'll hear what happened and whether diplomacy experts have ever seen the like. Plus reaction from the US, the UK, Ukraine and Russia. We've become used to cosy fireside chats in the Oval Office when world leaders come calling. There have been two this week when first President Macron and then Sir Keir Starmer met Donald Trump. But within the last few hours, there was a surely unprecedented shouting match in front of that same fireplace between President Trump, firmly backed by his Vice President J.D. Vance, and President Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine. You'll hear key excerpts from it in a moment. But first, a remark made by Donald Trump as Mr. Zelensky arrived at the White House. Did this set the tone for what followed?
He's all dressed up today.
He's all dressed up today, a reference to Mr. Zelensky's outfit after he'd faced criticism from some in the United States for not wearing a suit. That, though, was as nothing compared with what followed. What was supposed to be a chat in front of the media before serious discussions about a proposed minerals deal descended into a full-scale argument about the war in Ukraine, what the Russians did in 2014, their full-scale invasion in 2022, and the level of support Ukraine has had from the Americans and can expect in the future. The altercation began with the US Vice President J.D. Vance defending President Trump's decision to engage with his Russian counterpart, Vladimir Putin, after 3 years of diplomatic isolation by Western leaders. We're running this long to give you the full extent of what happened.
For 4 years in the United States of America, we had a president who stood up at press conferences and talked tough about Vladimir Putin, and then Putin invaded Ukraine and destroyed a significant chunk of the country. The path to peace and the path to prosperity is maybe engaging in diplomacy. We tried the pathway of Joe Biden, of thumping our chest and pretending that the President of the United States' words mattered more than the President of the United States' actions. What makes America a good country is America engaging in diplomacy. That's what President Trump is doing.
Can I ask you?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So he occupied our parts, big parts of Ukraine, part of East and Crimea. He occupied it on 2014. During a lot of years, so I'm not speaking about just Biden, but those time was President Obama, then President Trump, then President Biden, now the President Trump, and God bless, now President Trump will stop him. But during 2014, nobody stopped him. He just occupied and took. He killed people. You know what the contact line?
2015.
2014.
2014
and
2014.
Yeah, yeah. So
I was not here.
Yeah, yeah, but
that's exactly right.
Yes, but during 2014 till 2022, yeah, the situation the same. The people have been dying on the contact line. Nobody stopped him. You know that we had conversations with him, a lot of conversation, my bilateral conversation, and we signed with him, me, like a new president. In 2019, I signed with him the deal. I signed with him, Macron and Merkel, we signed ceasefire. All of them told me that he will never go We signed him with gas contract. Yes, but after that, he broke this ceasefire. He killed our people, and he didn't exchange prisoners. We signed the exchange of prisoners, but he didn't do it. What kind of diplomacy, JD, you are speaking about? What do you mean?
I'm talking about the kind of diplomacy that's going to end the destruction of your country.
Yes, but if you
Mr. President, with respect, I think it's disrespectful for you to come into the Oval Office and try to litigate this in front of the American media. Right now, you guys are going around and forcing conscripts to the front lines because you have manpower problems. You should be thanking the president for trying to bring an end to this conflict.
Have you ever been to Ukraine that you say what problems we have?
I have been to...
Come on.
I've actually watched and seen the stories, and I know what happens is you bring people, you bring them on a propaganda tour, Mr. President. Do you disagree that you've had problems bringing people into your military?
We have problems.
And do you think that it's respectful to come to the Oval Office of the United States of America and attack the administration that is trying to prevent the destruction of your country?
A lot of questions. Let's start from the beginning.
Sure.
First of all, during the war, everybody has problems, even you, but you have nice ocean and don't feel now, but you will feel it in the future. God bless you, you will not have a war.
Don't tell us what we're going to feel. We're trying to solve a problem. Don't tell us what we're going to feel.
I'm not telling you.
Because
I'm
you're in no position to dictate that.
That's
remember
exactly
this.
You're
in no position to dictate what we're going to feel. We're going to feel very good and very strong.
You will feel influence.
You're right now not in a very good position. You've allowed yourself to be in a very bad position, and it happens to be right about it.
From the very beginning of the war,
you're not in a good position.
You
don't have the cards right now. With us, you start having
cards.
Right now, you don't have your playing cards. You're playing cards. You're gambling with the lives of millions of people. You're gambling with World War III. You're gambling with World War III. And what you're doing is very disrespectful to the country, this country. That's back to you. Far more than a lot of people said they should have.
Have you said thank you once? Have you said thank you?
Today.
You went to Pennsylvania and campaigned for the opposition in October. Oh. Offer some words of appreciation for the United States of America and the president who's trying to save your country.
Please, you think that if you will speak very loudly about the war, you
He's
can...
He's not speaking loudly. He's not speaking loudly. Your country is in big trouble.
Can I answer?
Wait a minute. No, no. You've done a lot of talking. Your country is in big trouble.
I know.
You're not winning.
I know.
You're not winning this.
I.
You have a damn good chance of coming out okay because of us.
Mr. President, we are staying in our country, staying strong from the very beginning of the war. We've been alone, and we are thankful. I said thanks in this cabinet.
You haven't been alone.
In this cabinet.
We gave you, through this stupid president, $350 billion.
You voted for your
president. We gave you military equipment, and your men are brave, but they had to use our military.
What about West?
If you didn't have our military equipment,
you invited me.
If you didn't have our military equipment, this war would have been over in 2 weeks.
In three days. I heard it from Putin. In 3 days. This is something
maybe
new.
Less.
In 2 weeks. Of course, yes.
It's going to be a very hard thing to do business like this, I tell you.
Well, so hard did Donald Trump believe it to be to do business that he announced shortly after the meeting that Mr. Zelensky would leave the White House and Washington, D.C. without signing that much-talked-about minerals deal. Posting on his Truth Social platform, President Trump said Zelensky, quote, disrespected the United States of America in its cherished Oval Office. He can come back when he's ready for peace. Well, just before we came on air, I spoke to the one BBC reporter who was in the room, Miroslava Petsa. Here's what she said about how the argument unfolded.
It was surreal, absolutely surreal, because nothing seemed to show that this the way how the conversation would turn, because this whole talk in the Oval Office took 50 minutes or so, and the first 40 minutes were okay. It was a cordial conversation. Zelensky managed to show Trump pictures of Ukrainian prisoners of war. They spoke about how Zelensky was dressed, and Trump actually begged him after journalists asked why he wasn't in a suit. Trump said that he liked the way Zelensky looked, and Trump praised Ukrainian army, said that the Ukrainian nation is very brave. And then at some point when they were talking more about how the war would And J.D. Vance suggested that, you know, more diplomacy is needed. And that's when things turned sour. And President Zelensky then asked American Vice President how Putin essentially can be trusted after he broke the ceasefires, to which J.D. Vance replied that, you know what, have you ever thanked the United States of America for the support that Ukraine got? It was just, you know, I just could hear in the Oval Office how everybody was shocked. Everybody gasped. And when we went out, the other journalists who weren't able to see it firsthand were just, they couldn't believe what they were hearing from us.
Miroslava Petsa, who was in the room in the last few moments, President Trump has spoken more about this, and he says he still wants peace in Ukraine, but he said that President Zelensky has overplayed his hand. Let's speak to our State Department correspondent, Tom Bateman. You've been in this game for a while, Tom. Have you ever seen anything like this before?
Absolutely not. I mean, it was utterly unprecedented. And I think where it leaves the situation now is Mr. Zelensky came here at an absolutely critical moment for him, where the stakes really couldn't have been higher in terms of the profound shift that the US has made, ending Moscow's isolation over the last few weeks, conducting bilateral direct relations. And remember, there were talks yesterday between American diplomats and Russians in Istanbul. That was over, you know, rebuilding their diplomatic ties in their mutual embassies. That has been going ahead of pace. And suddenly you have Mr. Zelensky making this first trip during the second Trump presidency to the White House, where he categorically needed to get some kind of assurance that the US would be there in whatever form to guarantee, or at least to protect, Ukrainian security in the event that the ceasefire that Mr. Trump wants would be that Russia would basically ignore it and try to rearm and reinvade. You know, would the Americans be on side? Would there be air cover, for example? Now, he has left with that situation utterly shattered, a gulf of unimaginable proportions now between these two former allies, and an extraordinary scene playing out in the Oval Office at the White House. And so, you know, not only does the security of Ukraine and Europe come into question in terms of what this means historically about the US's role, but it, as Mr. Zelensky himself was trying to say, it has profound implications for global security.
And that public remark I made reference to a moment ago, President Trump now saying, look, I still want peace. The suggestion being, I want it, but I'm not sure Mr. Zelensky wants it. Is that the kind of message we're going to get now, do you think?
Well, I mean, you know, he campaigned. He was elected on a promise to end the war in a day, to end these the war in the Middle East and to end the war in Ukraine. He wants that. But the question is about the use of the word peace, because, you know, peace to, and I remember being in the State Department last year with then Secretary of State Antony Blinken and the then head of NATO, making the point about Ukraine that occupation is not peace, right? So you have already the issue that it was never palatable to the Ukrainians to have up to a quarter of their country taken by Russia, but perhaps prepared to trade that for a Western-backed, American-backed security guarantee. Well, where is that? After today, where is that? And so that, of course, raises the question, what does Mr. Trump mean by peace? Well, ending the war, but carving it up, Mr. Zelensky will now fear, and Ukrainians will now fear after today, you know, much more gravely, that this is a carve-up of the peace between Washington and Moscow.
Tom Bateman, thank you very much for that. So how is this all going to go down in Ukraine, where the stakes of this visit and the proposed minerals deal with the United States were so high? Well, here's some reaction from the streets of Kyiv this evening.
I understand our president. Maybe it was not a very diplomatic conversation, but it was very sincere. We're trying to tell about what's going on. Unfortunately, for some reason, President Trump has a bit of a wrong idea.
Trump's administration was so arrogant. They don't respect people of Ukraine, and they even don't hide it. And it's incredibly unpleasant to see this reaction from the current American administration.
support for the Ukrainian president, but does that hold up across the country's political divide? Alexei Moreshko is chair of Ukraine's Foreign Affairs Committee in the country's parliament, also a member of Volodymyr Zelensky's Servant of the People Party. Inna Sovsun is a member of the Holos Party, which is currently in opposition. They both join me live. Alexei Moreshko, from your point of view, what went so wrong here?
Well, I think that it was unexpected, of course, and we had very tough talk between strong personalities, strong leaders. But, you know, we should find constructive solution to this issue, because we are allies, we remain to be friends. And, of course, sometimes even between friends can be some disagreement, misunderstandings. But we should work on our relations. And I remain hopeful that we can rectify this situation.
There were 40 minutes of cordial conversation, but then a blow-up. Was your president in any way at fault here?
I don't believe so. From my perspective, I'm proud of my president, and he has become a voice of Ukrainian people, because he was respectful towards President of the United States. He was constructive by presenting arguments, concrete arguments defending his position. So I don't see any problem with that.
Inna Sovsun, do you share that view as an opposition member of parliament in Ukraine? Are you fully behind the way your president conducted this press briefing?
Well, I am absolutely sure that he did not expect this level of attack. I do not think that even framing the question in this way, was he correct in how he responded to an attack, is the best way to discuss this. He was being attacked there by both Vice President Pence and President Trump. They did clearly try to offend him. They clearly pointed out that it was his fault that the war is ongoing, which was absolutely unacceptable things to say.
So you think this was hatched in advance, do you, by the American administration to bring him to the point where he would react in the way that he did?
Well, we knew it was not going to be an easy conversation. We have heard the previous statements. We have seen that they are clearly setting up a path a certain way. I don't think anyone could have predicted this level of aggression. And what strikes me most is if you remember a week or so ago when the American team was negotiating with the Russians, they were all nice and cordial to the representatives of the country that has attacked, to the aggressor state. Yet when dealing with the president of the country that is the victim of the attack, they have been rude and unacceptably offensive. So I don't think anyone could see that coming. That is a very perverse reality that we have seen in that press conference. I do believe that president was speaking on behalf of all Ukrainian people. I'm saying that as the member of the opposition.
Alexei, I think
that it's unacceptable what he faced there.
Alexei Moreshko, let me come back to you on where we go now. Quite apart from anything else, President Zelensky is due to be part of a meeting of European leaders in London this weekend. What is the realistic aim of that meeting now?
Well, as far as I know, there will be a communique adopted. And one of the points of this communique is the principle, nothing about Ukraine without Ukraine. And even now we see lots of expressions of solidarity, support of Ukraine coming from different political leaders, from heads of states in Europe. And let's not forget that we have lots of our friends in the United States, in particular in the Congress, in the Senate. So situation is not hopeless, I believe.
Thank you both very much, Alexei Moreshko and Inna Sovsun.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Now this is how the American media, or at least parts of it, have been covering these events in recent hours.
This is an NBC News special report.
Good day. We're coming on the air with breaking news. It appears talks between the U.S. and Ukraine have broken down after a tense and combative day at the White House.
A heated exchange there in the Oval Office just about an hour ago between President Vladimir Zelensky, President Trump, and Vice President J.D. Vance.
Well, that was some of the coverage on the U.S. media tonight. Now, some Republican lawmakers have criticized Donald Trump and J.D. Vance for their confrontation with President Zelensky, but other allies have backed them. Representative Rick Scott of Florida wrote on X, "Thank you, President Trump, for standing up for America." Senate Foreign Relations Member Mike Lee also thanked the two men for, quote, putting America first. And here's Republican Senator and Trump ally Lindsey Graham.
I talked to Zelensky this morning. Don't take the bait. President Trump was in a very good mood last night. Somebody asked me, am I embarrassed about Trump? I have never been more proud of the president. I was very proud of J.D. Vance standing up for our country. We want to be helpful. What I saw in the Oval Office was disrespectful, and I don't know if we can ever do business with Zelensky again. I think most Americans saw a guy that they would not want to go in business with. The way he handled the meeting, the way he confronted the president, was just over the top.
And he concluded with this stark advice for President Zelensky.
He either needs to resign and send somebody over that we can do business with, or he needs to change.
Two American voices now. First, Democratic Congresswoman Madeleine Dean, who's a member of the Ukraine caucus. Madeleine Dean, welcome to the program. At the president's post at the end of all this, he said Zelensky, quote, disrespected the United States of America in its cherished Oval Office. He can come back when he's ready for peace. How do you react to that?
Well, Julian, thank you for having me on. I am also a member of the Foreign Affairs Committee and have had the opportunity to travel to Ukraine to meet with the president and to hear his gratitude, his citizens' gratitude for the extraordinary support that the United States in the past has offered. I am so sad today, Julian, by what happened in the Oval Office. I put out a statement and I called upon the president and the vice president to apologize. That was so un-American. That was so beneath.
What do you believe they should be apologizing for?
For their disgraceful behavior. They acted like two seventh grade bullies on a schoolyard. This is a president, President Zelensky, who is this year marking 3 years at war against Russia, against Putin. 50,000 Ukrainians have lost their lives. Tens of thousands of children have been abducted. The destruction of cities. They have valiantly fought back. And for J.D. Vance to have egged on that confrontation, and then Donald Trump, the president, to have gone forward with it in grotesque ways, so much of it not based in the truth.
Well, they said that he was disrespectful and that they hadn't heard the word thank you from him.
Oh, that's what I find so maddening. We are 40 days into the second Trump term. This is not normal, Julian. What is going on is not normal. What is left is right. What is up is down. This is totally not normal. What I have heard from Mr. Zelensky, from everyone who works with him, from the generals on the ground and the ordinary foot soldier is thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Tell me what
we
should happen.
Depend upon you.
Tell me what should happen to this minerals deal now.
Well, you know what I have thought all along is, boy, oh boy, isn't the cart before the horse? It shouldn't be a deal about getting money for the United States, or more importantly, a deal about rare earth minerals for Mr. Trump. It should be a deal about the sovereignty, bringing peace to Ukraine, restoring the sovereignty, whether it is over Crimea, the Donbas, or that which has happened since February 3 years ago. It shouldn't surprise any of us. Mr. Trump sees only business deals and ways to grift, ways to make money for himself or his friends. This was a shocking moment. And I want to say this because
briefly, if
I don't
you would.
Know, if you have been in the Oval Office, even before I became an elected member of Congress, to be in the Oval Office was such an awe-inspiring thing. You don't have to be a romantic to think that. It is a semi-sacred space in our American experience. What the president and the vice president did today was disgraceful.
Okay, thank you.
It was so unworthy.
Thank you very much for coming on the program, Democratic Congresswoman Madeleine Dean, member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. We're listening to that is Matthew Kronick, vice president of the Atlantic Council and former senior advisor to the now Secretary of State, Marco Rubio. Matthew Kronick, welcome to the program.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
How much of the blame for this press event disintegrating lies with the president and the vice president?
Well, I think it takes two to tango, and I was surprised, given how much Zelensky needs American support, that he wasn't more, or that he wasn't like, he was pretty combative. And I have talked to colleagues who worked in the Biden administration who said that they sometimes saw that side of him too, that after providing billions of dollars of aid, Zelensky's response would often be, what have you done for us lately? So I think you have two strong personalities today who were going at it in the Oval Office.
So you don't recognize the suggestion that there was some kind of hatching of a ganging up exercise on him by Trump and Vance in advance of what we all witnessed?
I don't think so. I think President Trump really wants to get peace in Ukraine. He's talked about it on the campaign trail. I think it's still an important priority. And we saw earlier in the week Trump having good meetings with other European leaders. I think they wouldn't have invited Zelensky to the White House unless they planned to have a good meeting. They planned to sign the minerals deal. And I think things kind of went off the rails right before the questioning period.
But if you are President Zelensky and you're sitting opposite a man who says, quote, I am not aligned with anybody, I'm aligned with the world, who pitches himself as an honest broker. In other words, he sees Putin and Zelensky as very much equals. And your country has been invaded and thousands have died. Aren't you entitled to be angry about that?
Well, I understand the emotion, but I think there also should have been some tact. And, you know, Trump's approach is unconventional, but the more conventional approach over the past few years of criticizing Putin, didn't just led to more conflict. And I think Trump is hoping that this unconventional approach will lead to peace.
But he's treating the invader and the invaded as equals.
I don't know that that's true. He has criticized.
I'm not aligned with anybody, he said. What is not clear about that?
I think we too often judge Trump by the rhetoric, and it's better to judge by the results. The rhetoric was sometimes deferential to Putin in the first term, critical of allies, and yet we had peace in Europe and NATO was strengthened. And so I think everybody needs to take a breath and not react to every press conference. And let's see what the results are.
Can America still do business with President Zelensky now, do you think?
I think so. We saw already this afternoon Zelensky with a kind of a conciliatory tweet thanking the United States and thanking President Trump for their support. The same thing that Vance and Trump were asking for in the meeting. And I do think both sides have a strong interest in getting to a deal. And so I suspect this will be a temporary bump in the road.
Matthew Kronick, thank you very much for coming on the programme. Now, in the last hour, we've had a statement from the British government on this. A number 10 spokeswoman said, and I quote, the Prime Minister has tonight spoken to both President Trump and President Zelensky. He retains unwavering support for Ukraine and is doing all he can to find a path forward to a lasting peace based on sovereignty and security for Ukraine. And the statement ended, the Prime Minister looks forward to hosting international leaders on Sunday, including President Zelensky. From other European leaders, there's been public support for President Zelensky. Ursula von der Leyen, the European Commission President, sent a message to him on X saying, you are never alone, dear President. We will continue working with you for a just and lasting peace. Kaja Kallas, the EU foreign policy chief, went further, promising to step up support for Ukraine and saying, quote, today it became clear that the free world needs a new leader. President Macron, who saw Mr. Trump earlier this week, said Russia was clearly the aggressor and it was important to respect the people who've been fighting since the beginning. And then this from the Trade Minister, Douglas Alexander, speaking earlier on Any Questions here on Radio 4.
That exchange was deeply troubling and sobering that we witnessed tonight. The only winner from the division of the West is going to be President Putin. And it demonstrated, frankly, in the starkest possible terms, the extent to which the world that we have all experienced over the last 80 years has changed beyond recognition. We are in dangerous and uncharted waters this evening. Every US president since Truman and Eisenhower has stood foursquare against Soviet expansion to the east of Europe. So I genuinely welcome the fact that President Zelensky will be here in the United Kingdom tomorrow ahead of a meeting on Sunday.
Douglas Alexander referring there to that meeting this weekend that Sir Keir Starmer has arranged with not just President Zelensky, but also other European leaders. The aim is to secure, quote, a lasting and enforced peace in Ukraine, an aim made more challenging, surely, by the events of the last few hours. Listening to all of that, Sir Ian Duncan Smith, a Conservative MP, former Conservative Party leader. Sir Ian, welcome. Good evening.
Good evening.
What was your reaction to what you saw earlier?
I was astonished, actually, I'll be honest with you. I'm used to arguments and rows in politics. They're the meat and drink of politics generally. But I think this was somewhat different. I thought that the J.D. Vance, I thought, had got into a spat with Zelensky, which could have been avoided on both sides. First of all, I'd have no idea why the cameras were still allowed to be sitting there during the course of the... These sort of debates need to take place behind closed doors, where then you can be open with each other and you can settle issues.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth saying this lasted 50 minutes in total. I mean, the first 40 were fairly cordial, the last 10 clearly weren't.
Well, that was the whole point, really. I thought, you know, opening, nice, you know, sort of, hello, how are you? Let's talk, we've got lots to talk about. And then get rid of the cameras and then go and sit down somewhere else. So I thought there was a... I don't know who planned or did they plan to have the cameras there for so long, but it's very detrimental to have this stuff. You cannot argue in public like that, because the only person that was laughing his head off and smiling is President Putin. And also, by the way, President Xi is smiling, because the more the West splits, the more that these totalitarian states like it, because they have their plans for aggrandizement. China in Taiwan and beyond, the South China Seas. Russia wants to take back Ukraine, complete lock, stock and barrel, and also has its eyes on areas like Belarus and also some of the ex-Soviet states. So this, we are at a critical time. I think the most dangerous period we've ever been in since the ending of the Cold War, or possibly the SS-20 deployments under Reagan and Thatcher.
There was a fair amount of praise for Sir Keir Starmer yesterday in his meeting with Donald Trump. Does that now not look as it did then?
No, I think all the more important. I did say in the House to Keir Starmer that your job as the United Kingdom Prime Minister is to hold together Europe and the United States. No other country has had that requirement on them. And we've seen some great prime ministers, from Churchill through to Thatcher, through to even Blair saw that as his duty. And I have said publicly that that the responsibility of Keir Starmer now is to try and bring these two back together and to stop any split. There's a lot of people talking about Europe going it alone, all the rest of it, and I think that is a disaster.
The free world needs a new leader, says Kaya Kallas. Does she have a point?
No, not at all. I think America will always be the leader of the free world in a general sense. It doesn't mean to say it dictates to the rest of the free world, but it does mean... Remember that NATO wasn't just brought into being by the American presidents and the prime ministers and all the others, members of Europe, simply to defend Europe. It was also brought to make sure that America doesn't do what it had done over many, many years, which is to fall back into isolationism, which it did after the First World War. And the disaster was they weren't there when the Germans rose again to force the Second World War. So it's important that Starmer now recognizes he has to be the glue that binds the West of Europe and also America together. Okay. And that's his task.
So, Ian, thank you very much indeed. As you hinted, if there's one place where there's been near delight expressed about today's events, it's Moscow. The Russians are witnessing a dramatic change in America's attitude towards Ukraine and its leadership, and they like what they're seeing. A short while ago, I spoke to our Russia editor, Steve Rosenberg, and asked him what reaction there'd been in Russia so far.
So far, President Putin hasn't said anything about what happened in the White House. But to be honest, President Putin doesn't need to say anything about what happened in the White House. Not right now. I mean, he can just afford to let events play out. Donald Trump had said earlier, you know, this is going to be great television. And you can just imagine Vladimir Putin sitting right in front of the TV set, enjoying the spectacle of his enemy, the leader of the country he has invaded, being so publicly berated by the president and the vice president of the United States in front of the world's media. So no comment from President Putin yet, but we've had comment from Dmitry Medvedev, the former Russian president and who is now deputy chairman of the Russian Security Council. And after what happened in the White House, he on social media has called on America to stop military assistance to Ukraine. Well, the Russians would dearly love that, for sure.
In terms of where Vladimir Putin goes from here, presumably going back to your first answer, he can continue to sit back and watch because he doesn't need to do a great deal else just now.
No, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, these have been really quite an astonishing couple of weeks for the Kremlin, well, for the world, really, that have turned everything on its head, right? I mean, it began with the Putin-Trump telephone call, America bringing the Kremlin leader in from the cold. We've seen the start of US-Russian talks, the start of this new US-Russian relationship. We saw the Munich Security Conference, didn't we, that highlighting the schism between America and Europe, and now the schism between America and Ukraine. It's all going Vladimir Putin's way at the moment. And, you know, over the last couple of weeks, what we haven't seen from the Kremlin is any hint that the Russians are ready for compromise, or we haven't seen any desire on the part of the Kremlin to make any concessions or to give up any of the Ukrainian territory that the Russians have seized over the last 3 years. And certainly what happened in Washington in the Oval Office isn't going to change that. In fact, quite the opposite.
So it goes very well from a Russian point of view now. I wonder, though, given the unpredictability of President Trump, whether there is still a wariness in the minds of those in the Kremlin that this could suddenly change?
Well, I mean, that's always at the back of their minds. You know, President Trump was described by a Russian paper some time ago as being like an unguided missile who can fly off in all kinds of directions. However, if you look at what's been happening in the last few weeks, what President Trump has been saying, what he's been doing, you know, most of what he's said and done has gone down very well with the Kremlin. And I think that explains the confidence with which Russian officials speak now. Certainly President Putin seems to be increasingly confident. The editorials in the Russian state newspapers seem to be very confident and giddy almost, celebrating what is happening, how things have changed. The balance of power, the fact that Russia is busy building this new relationship with the United States at the same time as relations between the US and Europe are suffering, and the United States seems to be, you know, arguing with Ukraine. So, of course, the Russians are pleased with what is happening. But we shouldn't forget that when Vladimir Putin started all of this 3 years ago, when he invaded Ukraine, you know, he thought this was going to be a short, sharp military operation that would last a few days or a few weeks maximum. It went badly wrong. I mean, this has gone on for 3 years now. But having said that, 3 years in, the Russians, I think, are supremely confident that they can push on, they can get more territory, and that there's an American president who would rather build a new relationship with Moscow than end the war on terms beneficial to Ukraine.
Steve Rosenberg. Well, in the last few moments, we've heard again from President Trump.
We had a meeting today, as you know, with President Zelensky, and I would say it didn't work out exactly great from his standpoint. I think he very much overplayed his hand. We're looking for peace. We're not looking for somebody that's going to sign up a strong power and then not make peace because they feel emboldened, and that's what I saw happening. I'm looking for peace. We're not looking to go into a 10-year war and play games. We want peace. And it was just my impression that if we do that, if we sign up, he's looking for something that I'm not looking for. He's looking to go on and fight. We're looking to end the death.
President Trump, at the end of a remarkable day. That is The World Tonight from me and everyone on the programme. Good night and have a good weekend.